Hello, everyone. Welcome on back to the X-Wing segment of the Wide World of Wargaming. As per usual, I am your host, Vince Morgado. Joining me, the regulars, Mr. Jeff Wilder.
What is thy bidding, my master?
And Mr. Drew Bishop.
Hello there.
And we are happy to be joined by the, I hope I have this correct, producer of the Fly Better podcast, Mr. Stephen Gonzalez.
That is correct. That Yay! Is an honorary title. I don't actually produce anything but content and championships.
I was going to say, you produce wins for the Fly Better guys.
And modesty.
Yep.
Modesty. He would never fit in on this show. But we brought him on because, as many of you saw, he absolutely demolished. Someone remind me of the gentleman's name.
Mitch Hurst,
the legend of the Denver System Open, with his quick draw, two Zetas, and Scorch.
Yep.
Some people continue to overrate the First Order. I do not understand why. But Steven destroyed him with some extremely hot green dice. And when we say extremely hot, we really don't have another word for it.
Just astronomical numbers.
Has anyone examined the math on what that took? I really want to know.
Yeah, the best part, the math doesn't really matter to me, and you know that's surprising, but the best part was when Steven called his shot.
Oh my God.
he just said, yeah, I need two evades. Watch this.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so you were like the tiger, you were like the, you know, eight ball corner pocket and done, right? Like,
which is funny because normally the last thing you ever, literally some people's last words in life are, hey, watch this.
Yeah, sure. Hold my beer.
So, Steve, what were you flying?
So I, a little something I threw together. It was all four of the resistance transport pods and Chewbacca, and just sprinkled some upgrades to taste. So for that match, I chose Heroic on Finn. Seemed like a great fit, adding blanks. And threw on Rey, who wanted to see in action, see what she could do. And shield upgrade, because I didn't think engine upgrade would be of much value on Initiative 4 Chewbacca. Mm-hmm. And Ray's Falcon title just in case I had to move that turret while stressed.
Right, just in case you wanna sloop and poop.
That's right.
Or sloop and rotate, right? That's not as good.
Sloop rotate or sloop and boost.
It's a sloop and chewy. Love it.
I'm genuinely curious, Steven. Did you borrow the pods or did you buy four resistance transports?
Admittedly, I had owned zero pods at the conception of the squad, and when I sent it over, I, along the way to the Flight Club match, bought two transport pods. There were actually only one on the shelf, but the Perky Nerd herself was gracious enough to sell me one that she had on hold since she was going to be able to replace it before
nice.
The person was going to pick it up. Yeah, and she's great. And then I borrowed one from Mitch and one from Ryan.
The ultimate. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that we used to do that on my 40K team, and we called it the Voltron strategy.
Oh yeah, I also forgot the dial for the Falcon, so I had to borrow that from Ryan as well.
This is like that party Caddyshack where I think the kid plays a tournament just by borrowing clubs from all his friends.
Or like, you know, you meet up with them on the final table, right? And then you pull the Anakin meme, like, wait, this was your idea, right?
So I'm sure this is a coincidence, but Chevy Chase's line in Caddyshack is no Danny. That was my roommate, Mitch.
Oh, man. Mitch is
greatest golf movie ever or second to Happy Gilmore?
Ooh.
That's rough.
Yeah, that's kind of unfair.
We asked the tough questions on this show.
You know what? I'm going to go with Happy. Okay. Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yep.
I'm going with Caddyshack because I'm sorry, but Chevy Chase and Bill Murray and Rodney freaking Dangerfield.
Jeff, the real question is, how did you not start with Rodney Dangerfield?
Because I've been watching SNL since I was 8 years old, and Chevy Chase and Bill Murray just my heroes.
Bill Murray makes everything better.
I came to Caddyshack via stand-up, where Rodney Dangerfield is and always will be the second face on Mount Rushmore. but let's go ahead and drag this back onto focus, and totally not like I drag us off focus every single week. Where did you get this idea from, I guess is the better question. Was this something that you plan on expanding with further, like pulling some of the pods and repurposing their points, or was this just a one-off?
No, I tend to pursue this to its optimized potential. So I just like, well, the pod itself is solid. Like, I remember reading an article back when, way back in X-Wing 1.0, where someone did analysis of every ship's jousting efficiency and surprisingly ranked really high, at least surprising to me, was the Z95. And I saw that the pods, so I experienced that efficiency. I believe in it. And the pods reminded me very much so of Z95. So in my head, I'm bringing Chewbacca and four Zs.
Right, a resistance Z.
Right, exactly. So, and then what's great is each of these ships have pretty cool abilities.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, like in retrospect, I totally put Rose in the wrong spot. I would definitely, moving forward, keep her in the back, keep all the ships between her and the target. BB-8 system phase booster barrel has great blocking potential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even though he's initiative 3, just things really happen in the system phase, so he pretty much has it all to himself. You all saw how great Finn is, and
he rolled out of his mind.
Oh man,
rolled out. There's no other way around that.
I played two more matches with the squad, not to the same success as that streamed one, but what I did notice is that three hits from Finn, just by adding that focus, by taking the strain, is pretty consistent.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
And just if you ever blank out on defense, man, you're adding a blank and re-rolling all three of them. That's with heroic, yeah, that's got some potential there too. Yeah.
And because it's a while effect, you essentially pick when you add these dice, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And then
somewhat exploitable, but also incredibly cool.
Your opponent just doesn't have. It's like the classic: who do I shoot? Because you want. If you kill the pods, which are fairly easy to kill if somebody's not rolling blank or evade after, but you kill the pods and then you've got Chewbacca with a modified or double modified shot,
right?
And every time you kill a pod, you're giving Chewie bonus damage.
Right. Well, kind of. So that was the big thing I wanted to ask you about, Steven, was how, because the one thing that's kind of kept me away from the squad is the fact that if your opponent does get, you know, hot attack dice or is flying, you know, maybe like a TIE Swarm or something with a lot of damage output, were there any points in any of your games where Chewie didn't get the shot, but maybe got like a target lock because he already used his second attack for the round?
That hasn't happened yet, but that could definitely happen. And keeping Chewie not necessarily in range, the range is so easy.
Right,
I like how loose you can fly all of it. But keep maintaining arc. I mean, it's, you don't, you're limited to the bow tie. So it's not, right, it's tricky. You got to keep them in that arc. You got to keep them at range because you don't want him to get burned down quickly either.
Right.
Because then you're just stuck with all these they definitely don't have the maneuverability of a Z95.
Slow, squishy, unupgraded.
But still joustingly efficient.
Right. So it is tough. It's not easy mode. You can't just, it's not like you can just shove Chewie in there to maintain right. that arc. And that's kind of what I struggled with in the following games. I think people learned from that match and decided to not just move Jadon.
There you go. Yeah.
Although that is the wrong lesson because I should not have rolled that many evades.
No, really?
Having said that, Finn and Rose are very defensive and probably could stick around longer than the other two could. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're not going to roll like...
Well, I mean, that's the difference. I mean, I don't know. My impression was that you probably would have won that match with less hot dice. But there's no telling how close it would have been, right? I mean, that was remarkable. I was just like, oh, well, this explains my entire X-Wing existence, Stevens. Steven gets everyone that I don't roll. Every blank I roll.
Jeff, I want to say that's the explanation for it, but uh-huh. Man, you've got somebody. You visited Louisiana at some point and pissed somebody off, brother.
Yeah, it's true.
That's all it is. Somebody with friends on the other side put the hex on you, and that's it, man.
That was actually just. Me being charged up, I hadn't rolled dice in over 2 months, so that was just wanting them to break out.
It's a great feeling, isn't it, to just play the game again after so long?
Yeah, it dragged me back in. I was so on the fence, but I was really interested in participating in Flight Club. I really loved the theme, the idea of it, and I was just so happy to be invited.
Excellent. For those who may or may not have listened to what that is specifically, do you want to briefly go over that before we continue?
Flight Club is part of the Gold Squadron podcast. It's a streaming event that they want to host across the US and possibly around the world. And the idea is to get some grudge matches out, get some local grudges settled. And what makes it interesting is there are limitations to the squad. So we're not all bringing exploits. We're bringing
right
like cool things. So like, for example, he'll set a limit and you build your squads around that limit. In this case, it was new ships or ships that were affected by the recent point change.
So and the idea is to have a card, right? There's going to be the top of the bill working down to the feature, and then a couple of matches to close, a couple of palate cleansing matches to close out the card. And I think I think Dion said as I was watching, he said that it's all played under Premier rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I did not know that.
you're just so used to it. Well, it doesn't matter.
He'd been watching the stream while he was playing. He would have known that.
But we did not immediately play our best. Like I just rewatched the match, and I saw that I did not convert a blank into an evade as Scorch shot at BB-8 through. The gas cloud. Excuse me.
I do remember the exact moment you're talking about, and I just assumed that the other corner of Scorch was closer.
He was tilted slightly so that it did go through.
Okay.
I mean, it was fine to me either way. I was kind of looking forward. I really wanted to try to showcase all of them, what they could do. So I did try to do the barrel roll in the system phase. I did want to jam something. We each missed a shot. Mitch missed a shot from Scorch to add BB-8 in that second round, and I forgot to shoot with I call it V. It's probably Vi, but whatever. I missed a shot with V too, but we moved on.
I mean, a game with that many moving parts, people are going to miss things. That's just, yeah. Especially you were playing with a whole bunch of new stuff with an insane number of new triggers. And then, you know, let's just say he probably hasn't flown triple TIE FO in a while. Sorry, TIE SF in a while. So, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah.
But that's an entertaining as hell game.
It was so fun.
It was very enjoyable.
I was going to say, and that's the greatest part about this, too. I really like that you guys are working towards trying to showcase some of the ships that are not, you know, maybe as well looked at as others. And then also just having a good time with it, right? Like, you know, when we first started playing X-Wing back in 1.0, I used to see a lot of people barrel roll for like no reason, right? Like it was the action. You know, your TIE fighters get stuck at range one. I mean, sure, you could focus, right? But a lot of times I saw people barrel roll, and one of the main reactions from it, and I used to do it a lot too, was like, dude, I just want to, like, that's so cool, right? Like, you just, so, no,
that's exactly.
That's awesome. Good on you guys.
And it's also a charity event. And it was great just to, I missed a lot of it, but during the streams, people were just throwing money. At the charity event.
That's like $150. And Stephen, on a personal note, I just wanted to express my support for your chosen charity. I really appreciated that. I've donated quite a bit to them recently myself, so it was good to hear.
What is the charity?
I actually followed Jeff Moore's lead on Planned Parenthood.
So what do you think? You sort of alluded to this earlier, but do you think the list has legs? Because that, unfortunately, that game, is the greatest list that's ever existed, or did I dirty roll out my ass? It could be both.
No, I'm gonna go ahead and say that I rolled out my ass there. as I mentioned, the two times I've flown since were not as successful. And a lot of it is I got a lot of rust to shrug off, and not simply from 2.0, but just I've developed a lot of lazy habits from 1.0. Mm-hmm. So it feels good to I don't even think I chose all the optimal upgrades. There's still a lot of things I would like to try.
Yeah.
Like I want to see what Holdo's about. I want to see what Leia looks like.
So much stuff in that expansion,
right,
man?
Oh, that was my first comment when I opened the pack. It's like that's a lot of cards.
Yeah.
Oh man, and then the transport too has like a bajillion upgrades on it. Like the stat line, I was like, oh my god, it has a cannon. Oh my god, it has torpedo. Oh my god, it can carry crew. Oh my god, it has a tech. Does it have a tech slot? I don't remember.
It does have a tech slot.
It has
every single conceivable slot. Yeah.
Yeah, it has almost everything in it. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh my, like, you could just see the meme with the woman with all the math, right? Like, there's just so many different things you can do with it.
Yeah, it's so versatile.
I want to ask, what do you think really is the true purpose of the transport, not the pods? Is that a pure support? Is that going to turn into kind of the Resistance U-Wing? What's the future for that ship, do you think?
I was just thinking about that today, because in some way, like I was comparing it in my mind to a B-Wing, because it has some of those spots, except it has one less die for attack, natively, and two crew slots.
The day they give the B-Wing a crew slot. Oh.
Yeah. It used to have one.
I want it so bad.
Yeah. So I've been talking about it in a chat. So I haven't put it on the table yet. But my mind first and foremost goes to support ship. Like it's got the coordinate on it.
You coordinate, yeah.
And the
generic is super cheap. I mean, the generic for a coordinate is just almost cost nothing,
right? And although I feel a lot of the crew for Resistance is overpriced, I think it probably should be, because there's a lot of combo wing potential with them, right? Like C-3PO,
mm-hmm.
Right? You have another ship that calculates. You just throw a crew that gives them that, like Actually, there was two new droid crew that provide calculate, and now you have unlimited range coordinates.
Yeah, which, that's not going to be a problem for the game at all.
Yeah, with something that gets an action back when it coordinates.
Yeah.
Right? So there you have potentially double mods for something that can that's very cheap and can carry munitions, so like a proton or plasma torpedo.
Yeah. Yeah, so I actually have had I've gotten at least 6 or 7 games under my belt. Mm-hmm. I've been running Noden Shavdri, right. Which is if you coordinate or are coordinated, if you have 2 or fewer stress tokens, you may perform one action on your action bar as a red action, even if you're stressed. I have fallen in love with Auto Blasters.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Oh my gosh, it's insane, especially getting 4 dice at range 1. Like, it's pretty nasty. And then the last 2 upgrades to round out this ship are Core Cella, which is any blue maneuver you do, or any blue maneuver you execute, removes all of your stress tokens.
She's magical. She's the core.
Yeah, I agree. That's the thing that's going to make it work.
Right, yeah. Do you think she's undercosted at 6, or is 6 like kind of the right price point for her, do you guys think?
Oh, I think that might be right.
Well, because here's the thing, though, right? Because it's not just her, it's her with R4, right? To make those 2s and 1s.
Yeah.
She's also a get out of jail free card if somebody does land the evil and much feared panic pilot on you.
Right.
That's
not nothing.
Is that a settled rules interaction, R4 and Corsella? I was under the impression it was still a little bit of controversy.
Oh, is there what controversy is there specifically?
It's the whole whether it's the revealed dial and all that stuff. I'd have to look it up.
Was when they included Leia, not just Core and R4.
It's both of them that people are asking about. I think that Leia is more of a question than Corsella than R4 is. But
yeah, because Core and R4 doesn't seem to have any kind of problem to me at all.
Yeah, I think it was Eloasti. It was
right.
The difference between treat and
reduce.
Reduce, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Yeah, because I'm keeping up with the conversation in Yasby, so I don't get blown away. You guys all speak this as your first language. For me, it's about my 4th, and I'm sometimes a step or 2 behind.
I don't.
No, that's it. It's probably pretty good.
Because I, like you said, I think that she's the centerpiece of it. I don't think that most resistance transport lists will work without her because they're all so reliant on doing things that stress them.
Right.
And they screwed tactical officer.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Exactly.
I don't know if they did it for no reason.
I think it was merited. I don't know if it should have been that high, but it was definitely.
Yeah.
Merited.
Who was breaking the game with tactical officer?
We talked about this before. It's just we disagree on this, Steven. I think that they hit too much stuff. I don't think that tactical officer itself was too bad. It's just a tactical officer combined with everything else.
Right.
Who was using tactical? Who's going to use tactical officer at 6? Nobody is.
It's not worth 6.
But they threw it on there because it was 2, right? And you can't have that either.
Well, of course. I mean, I won't say of course not. I think two to change the difficulty of an action is perfectly acceptable, especially because Debris Gambit to me is still overpriced. But I'm on Jeff's side on this one. To me, it was a panic change. And there was no need for it to go 300% price.
Fair.
4, okay. But 5 and 6 is just why? Yeah. You know? Unless the idea is to get rid of white non-native white coordinates.
Yeah, there's also the cost of the crew slot,
right?
Which is very precious. Yeah.
Absolutely. So are you going to be a resistance player, do you think, in 2.0, or are you going to spread out from there? I play everything, as my podcast mates know. I play everything except Republic and I do play Republic.
Wait, I was gonna, what was that, Jack?
I play everything except Separatist. So
I'm just, I've been doing this a while, so I have quite a collection. So it is easy for me to jump from one faction to another. But like if I were new to the game, I'd be all about this resistance hotness. It's they got a lot of fun tools.
You mean the Republic or Resistance?
Oh, Resistance. I think Republic speaks to me though.
Yeah.
I love them Jedi.
Oh, the Republic hype is super real in the entire community right now.
The invincible aces, or
oh my gosh,
mostly invincible.
I'm not sure that
we're going to credit
the last game with anime imports that I played that didn't have Anakin in it, that I didn't play against a non Anakin list.
You know, it turns out when you give Nia Num's ability to an I-6, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Like Anakin, what I really like about Anakin is he's one of the few aces that I think don't mind moving first because of that ability. Like I would love seeing Poe when I was playing Anakin.
Right,
because I can get behind you and clear that stress.
Yeah,
and you can't do that.
And that's the same as Nia Nun, right? Like when you're facing Nia Nun, you don't know whether do I make him move first or do I make him move second. There are benefits for him either way. So,
right.
And maybe that's why Leia for the Resistance's cost so high, because she turns Poe into that ability. He can dabble with the best of them. But then again, of course, you know, Leia's literally a sitting duck, just like in the movie. Yeah. Right.
Right.
# Admiral Akbar shouldn't have died. Okay. Anyways, moving on.
We'll save that rant for another day.
I feel like Leia gives the aces from Resistance a chance to actually maybe kind of deal with Republic, but I haven't played with Leia or the transport enough to know that fully. But it excites me to play the Resistance.
Yeah,
seeing that they may have the tools to do something like that.
Yeah, I would love to see a white Poe do a white talon roll to focus. Target like range one on something. Yeah. That'd be beautiful.
when that gets settled, you might see me flying Poe again. Because if there's anything I like more in life than an I-6 T-65, it's an I-6 T-70.
Yeah. I'm just not a fan of Poe.
I want to ask, and this is kind of I'm going to throw this up for everybody. Again, I've been whispering it for a while now. Is there a two bomber list out there, and do any of these pods serve a purpose for that list? Because I'm just looking at this right now, and I'm really thinking V or Vi Marati giving intel to a two bomber list would make life extremely difficult for certain aces.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
I think just bombs. Bombs in general give aces a hard time.
How does that help them? I'm missing something.
The ability to know whether or not you have to spend your action to move your turret.
Oh, okay. Well, but I mean that's pretty much it, right?
But you had informant to do that before.
Yeah, bombers generally do not like to move their turret at all.
Yeah.
I have not flown these yet, so I'm getting every time we talk about it, I get a further education on how they work.
Yeah, they've got the three front, so
yeah.
Unless they're carrying veteran turret gunner, which you know sometimes they are. Putting the arcs front and back is pretty counterintuitive, pretty contraindicated, I should say. So I've been flying a lot of Vinny lately, and I'm pretty sure that most of the bombers just don't want to go front back with that turret.
No,
you just always want it on the side so you have some kind of coverage. Yes.
Yeah, with that 270.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with an 8-point turret gunner, I don't think going for the double tap is worth it on the MGs.
Yeah.
I mean, they are cheap enough to do it, and there are some pretty brutal effects if you do go for it.
Well, I guess, when did we get delayed fuses? Did that just come out?
It did just come out with the high gunner.
So that's interesting. So I'm kind of disappointed because that made Captain Nim less special, but maybe that's kind of a boost that bombs needed.
F Captain Nim. effing.
The problem is if you take the delayed fuses, you can't put a shield on them, and that we are. I think this podcast, we can all generally agree, we do believe in the odd number of hit point meta.
Oh, right. You want to kick it up from even to odd?
Yeah.
From 12 to 13. And yeah. Plus, it's just one more hit between you and those crits actually starting to pull two hull off at a time.
Oh.
Can we? Oh, sorry. Go, Steve.
I was going to say, space control is really important in this game. So just be able to just block out a part of the map because.
Yeah.
There's a bomb waiting there.
That is true.
And it's, you know,
if you have two bombers, because you were asking specifically about two bombers, being able to create no fly zones when you've got two bombers really helps them, because there's no getting behind them if you do it right.
And that's their real problem spot is behind them, because the fronts, it's kind of like bullfighting. Like, if you do decide you want to dance with the front, then, you know, they'll trade pretty evenly with most things. But if you get behind them, they just can't defend themselves.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I really like them, by the way. I enjoy flying Vinny. I'm like 50-50 with them, but the games that I've lost have been either extremely close or they've all been extremely close. And and I just enjoy, even when I lose, even when I'm going 50-50, if a game is close, I enjoy the game. So I'm loving playing Vinny right now.
What's your supporting cast with Vinny?
Nian and Zari.
I love Zari.
Steven, at the same time that you were playing Mitch, I was playing this list, okay? And in the first round of engagement, Zari was shot at from range 3. Zari had a focus token, and I rolled 4 blanks. Took 2 damage. In the second round, Zari had a focus token, and I had 2 incoming damage and rolled 3 blanks.
I pulled all your veins.
Yes.
Onto my
them all.
Steven, don't let him make you feel bad. This has been happening long before that game.
That was literally a 1 in 1,000 chance. So my bet is, if we go back and do the math on your game, it's going to be a 1,000 to 1 that you got the advantage there. It's gonna even out exactly, because the expertise, man.
The squiggles disappeared off your dice and appeared onto mine.
Don't ask him what happened in Mountain View.
That's
you're not ready for that. You're not ready for that much salt.
Yeah, that's real salt, because it was it's something
that I could it was games that you paid for the privilege of playing.
Exactly.
But all right, guys, we've got a lot of other things to do tonight, and the first and foremost is talking about the Tucson Hyperspace Trial. Streamed by Mr. CJ Fox, my new favorite Twitch streamer. I dragged myself through the majority of those games till about the top 4. So about 11 hours of watching X-Wing, and damn if I didn't sleep good that night. Shout out to the champion, Mr. Evan Pomerantz, with his Epsilon Cadet, Double Zeta, Quick Draw, and CNR, is it Jameis? Is that how you say that word? CNR Jameis Engineer, basically the Kappa Silencer. The list I loved from this event personally was Josh Allred with the double decimator.
Oh, dude.
That list was dirty.
Yeah.
It was you could literally see him put those on the table, and the guy he was playing against would go, "Dude, I don't have enough dice."
So we got Rear Admiral Cherno, Darth Vader, Shield Upgrade, right?
Yeah. And Fifth Brother.
Yeah.
For 3 points, and Fifth Brother. And then Captain Lincoln, personal favorite, again with Shield Upgrade, Death Troopers.
It makes me so happy to see them go to odd hit points. It just makes me so happy.
I love you, Jeff. Then Death Troopers, 000, Intimidation, Dauntless, and BT-1.
Wow. Oh, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, remember we talked about the ship that had dropped the most points across the board since their inception? If you found out where all those points get to go.
Yeah. But look at that strength of schedule. he fought his way through.
And look at his MO, let's look at his MOV. He crushed them.
Dude.
The first game I saw him on stream was a game I thought was a great matchup for the other guy, and I was proven wrong. He played against a gentleman who brought Old Tarok, two Skulls, and a Zealous Recruit. And you could literally watch the guy he was playing as had no idea what to do. Because he kept stressing himself right when he was about to charge the Decimators. And you're like, dude, you're not going to get an action next turn. What are you doing?
And he's got automatic damage there. He's got active upgrades. Those Fang Fighters are just meat for the grinder there.
Vader killed three passive ships. Vader basically killed three ships.
Wow.
Yeah, passive. So many passive actions and modifications on both of them. Depending on, I don't know how he flew it, but I'm assuming he flew it well. Looking at that MOV, right?
It was almost always like a train. He just ran them nose to tail.
It's freaking awesome.
I mean, he'd have to do them nose to tail because his strength of schedule was 69.
Oh my god. Steven, I apologize for my podcast, mate.
You don't even know how happy I was that Jeff invited me on. Thank you, Jeff.
I do want to mention one list that's really starting to get under my freaking skin. And this has been boiling for a long time, but Vader Fell Duchess seems to be like the I don't have any originality, but I know this list is good default.
It's the good list for people who like to play KG is what it comes down to. I can't hate it the way you do just because it is that list for people who like to play KG. And I think that's a valid way to like to play the game.
I see the strengths of all of it. I mean, it's, once again, must be nice to have two I6s.
It's easy mode. The higher initiative, the easier it is. Yeah,
true.
I want to point out, I didn't say that before I start another fight on the internet, but that would never happen.
Vince, you and I met because we got in an argument about me dissing I6s, remember? It's not about...
That's why I invited... That is literally the reason I invited you on the show.
I mean, it's not that I don't see the issues with I6s. I genuinely do and always have. It's just that I don't see the issue with this list exactly. You know what I mean?
I think it's... it might be Duchess as not even at this point she's her own special double reposition. And you can slap a force yes, user on her.
That's big.
Like, come on, guys. At this point, do we just call it an embarrassment of riches for the Empire? Is there any question who the strongest faction overall is?
I voted Imperial pretty high.
Yeah, I don't know if they're like the top of the top, but like as far as choices go, and the fact that all of their like aces can have force, I definitely. Yeah, that's huge. I definitely think that they're way up there.
I'm going to press you on it. I'm going to push you on this. I want you to tell me who the other competitor is.
Oh, yeah. It has to be Republic.
It has to be Republic.
To be Republic.
Yeah.
Yep. Is it though?
They're like dark. Imperial's just like a dark mirror of the Republic.
And it's not a coincidence that they're both very, very strong Enforce users. It really isn't.
Yeah.
True. Yep.
Man, when you add a new mechanic to the game and then give it to only two factions, I guess we kind of see how that works out.
Well, you're not wrong.
I didn't say anything. We saw the attempt at resurrecting Rebel Beef from Anthony Acevedo with Wedge, Jake, Braylon, and Cassian. He apparently did pretty well with it, but you can see you can just see how much muscle that list has lost watching it play. It's just nowhere near what the previous version was. And it's good, but you also are like, man, really? Is this what we're reduced to? Also, the obsession with outmaneuver on Jake, I do not understand.
I mean,
I mean, he's a slice of cake that like never dies. So you put all the points in him, and he's like run as fast as you can, right? Like, I don't know.
I guess you can't chase him if you've got Braylon and Red on you.
In my experience with Jake, and I'm like an aggressive ace player, right? So in my experience with Jake, he winds up just running away, and I'm like, okay, fine, I'll just kill everything else, right? But yeah. But he's got to outmaneuver, man, right? Like the 6 points.
I wonder. It's a 43-point ship. I mean, it is worth chasing.
I want to point out the number 10 list, which is fascinating to me. Five A-wings, right? I guess.
Whatever it is. I've seen people talk about it. You have to be. This is what I think we all mean when we say really high skill ceiling.
Well, they're not as efficient as the five A-wings, though, right? Now, the A-wings did go up in cost, if I recall, right, for resistance.
Lulo and the green,
right? Okay, because the other, you know, running the five resistance A-wings with optics or, you know, crack shot or heroic or whatever, I do feel is more efficient than the Jedi with calibrated.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't know, man, how often I want to watch those matches, right, to know for sure.
I think a lot of people who, just based on what I saw in that game, Alex did not trigger a calibrated laser anywhere near as often as he should. And that was because he tried to knife fight too much. Mm. And as good as the Jedi are, they are a lot better booming and zooming. They just are. Because if they jump in, they do their damage, they five straight boost away.
Hmm.
And then they come back and they reset. As soon as you get into the bump and, you know, the scrum with them, it's really easy for red dice to overpower green dice, and they're not tough enough to do that. So I think that's the mistake that Alex Farley made when I was watching one of his games.
Well, if you look at all of the lists that are in the top cut, right, it's a lot of aces. And so I'm wondering too, maybe that was the way that he flew or how he flew. And because he was trying to, you know, hit hard first and then scatter, the aces were easily able to, you know, okay, we'll pick this one off, right? And then they come around, now there's four of them instead of five of them, right? And then, you know, the aces overshoot and blow up another Jedi. Now they're down to, you know, three, right? Like, I you know, I want to know how he flew it, but I do feel like you have to, it's like hard mode, right? Like, Bullseye gets you the extra focus, and you do technically have the two actions you can take, you know, whether being barrel roll or boost. But with such low initiative ships, really, you have to have a plan going in.
Honestly, though, the top eight, I don't really see that many aces. There's Vader fell. Okay, that's four. That's fair.
There's three Vader. There's three Vader fells, Jeff. You could just pack that up and go home.
But I mean, there's also, so four of the list are ace lists. Okay, I'll give you that.
Well, hang on. There's also a Luminar. There's also a Luminar Kenobi list. Yes, it is. All of the Jedi are double repositioners.
Well, they're all mini aces, though, right? Like Luminara has the double, Obi has the double. Wolf is like a monster.
Yeah,
Wolf is especially a
with veteran tail there.
Wolf is just a beat stick.
Oh my god, he beat Marvel to it. He was running Natalie Portman with the hammer.
Oh my god, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. I did like to see the Ralph Chira, I believe it's Chirello. I finally got to see somebody spam Discord missiles. It was as glorious as we all imagined it to be.
Ridiculous amount of fun.
It was not only did it look ridiculously fun, it looked like it worked. Because he was sticking them on things that didn't have barrel rolls, and you could just see the other guy go, "Shit!"
Yeah.
But it was also just making them burn actions on barrel rolls itself is a benefit, because those are mods they don't get, they're boosts they don't get. Whatever it is, a barrel roll is like the third option you really want as far as action goes.
That, I think, is the efficient way to do it, right? Like, they're not meant for the crit damage that they deal, although it's icing on the cake. One of the games of the Resistance transport that I was running, I got caught by Vader and Fell, and it was absolutely glorious. Just jam, right? Students here jam. You know, oh, he's not going to be an arc next turn. He's got to leave. And then it was like, you know, the veteran turret bomber, you know, oh, I'll take a range 3 pot shot. Oh, look, there's 2 damage on fell, right? Like,
yeah,
you know. So I definitely feel like the ability to jam and like just do those little, you can just screw over so many things, forcing someone to spend an action to do something they didn't want to originally do.
Are you talking about Discord missiles or are you talking about the droids, the probe droids?
I mean, you could say the same thing about both, but I do think the Discord, okay, forcing your opponent to barrel roll when they don't want to, yeah, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm just really happy to see. Honestly, I'm happy to see Darth Maul survive the increase. Darth Maul with hate, nonetheless.
Yeah, nonetheless.
Oh, wait. Darth Maul with hate, Dooku, Grievous, Prox Mines, Baffles, and Kraken. Like the Christmas tree, the shit out of it.
I mean, talk about put all your eggs in one basket. Isn't that like every main bad guy from the Separatists? Right, except for Sidious.
Yeah, it kind of is. Can you imagine the arguing on that ship if it were like that? Is an episode? That is a comedy episode of the Clone Wars waiting to happen that we never got. Yeah, man.
You know, Simo, for you guys, do you guys just put on the 0-point tractor beam? Do you take that with you when you take something that can have it because it's
the
free?
Jamming beam, you mean?
Is that what it is? Yeah, jamming beam. Excuse me.
I actually don't.
I think so.
I think that it's.
I don't either.
I don't either.
Digging out of my card pack.
I will say that with the list I'm working on, which is, if I'm remembering this correctly, it's Luke, two blue squads, and Jake. I'm really considering it. Just because it would solve one problem with that list probably has, which is energy shell charge droids. It's like, hi, I have all of the tokens. Hi, I have all of the jams. Go away, please.
Well, here's the thing with Republic 2, or at least what I see, and I don't know if this is correct or not, but I do see a lot of like Anakin's and Obi-Wan's, especially with Delta B, target locking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so while I don't feel like jamming beam does a whole lot, you know, if you can get that initiative one or two ship to look at them as they fly away, you know, you have to keep them honest because they could, you know, for that single damage to get through, I mean, I know it's not actually damage, but for them to lose that target lock could mean one of your ships stays alive.
I want to ask about that. Does anyone feel like that's probably a mistake just because of how fast you exhaust your force?
What is a mistake?
Spending your actions on a target lock and not, you know, just going for a focus.
I think that a lot of Republic players reposition when they don't need to and target lock instead of focusing. And I think that can burn through the force way too fast. I don't think it's the target lock specifically instead of focusing. I think that it's the repositioning when you really don't have to.
There are times where I consider afterburners on the Jedi, even if that sounds foolish. I think there might be merit in a free boost that doesn't cost me my precious force. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've looked at that as well. I've looked at afterburners on just about every single possible ship because free actions are really, really good. And it's just never, for whatever reason, I've just stopped doing it. I looked at afterburners on Wedge just to boost out of a Talon roll. And I can tell you, just for the chance to proc Predator on a 4-die shot, and I might go back to it even at 63 points. Man. It may be retarded, but I'm looking at it might just be the gambles.
Yeah.
So I see that somebody took the Inferno Swarm to 11th place, which is about 40 places better than I did.
How many places better, Jeff?
I think I finished.
Oh, I thought you said
running.
I thought you said running. Four. I'm like, that seems low.
I think I finished 51st out of 44 players, something like that.
Steve, what's your take on Sane as opposed to that other academy with the swarm tactics?
Yeah, like I'm actually not caught up on how the changes affected the the TIE Swarm. So can you not afford two Swarm Tactics anymore? Is that?
You can. So it's, I believe the new list, or at least a variant of it, is Hellrunner Swarm Tactics, Iden Swarm Tactics, Gideon...
Or Delmico Swarm Tactics.
Is it Gideon? Gideon or Delmico... Any one of these can have the second Swarm Tactics on them. And then I believe Del is still in the list. It's an Academy pilot Wampa. And Wampa.
Yeah.
So you run the two. You run the two Wampa initiative ones.
So you traded Wampa for another four.
Yeah, you traded Wampa for Sane with marksmanship, who turns the bullseye hit into a crit.
No, I like.
She's, what is it, the old school 1.0 pilot. Yeah. She can cancel results to just deal a damage.
Yeah, that's kind of good. But I like what Wampa does with tactics, right? I like trying to force an attack on him to so that he doesn't get the 3-die attack. I think I would still take Wampa over Sane.
When I first started flying it, I used Sane instead of Delmico. And when I got the bullseye, it was great. It was too difficult to get the bullseye. And it's not just that she's only a four and I'm playing a lot of fives and sixes. That's obviously makes it difficult. But it's also that she's a four and she's flying in formation. So it's not like I have freedom to barrel roll to place my bullseye arc. So I gave up on Sane.
I just like the idea of two ones as well. If I need more room to block, if I need to cover more area, I like the idea of having one more one there as well. But I mean, if we start seeing more big bases on the table, then maybe Sane
will come back.
That's a merit, yeah.
I want to ask about one more list, and then we're running up on that clock, so we'll move on to the next one. Rick, Obi-Wan with a 7B, Wolf, and the 104th Battalion. This is – okay. I don't know John Gardner. I love this list. I think he probably could have done a lot better with it because I don't see any weakness in that list other than I-6s would be my only thing. Otherwise, that can run – he could run absolutely insanely wild with the damage output from that list. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, Wolf is undercosted. I don't care what anybody says. Obi-Wan has enough force that he can power through that burning your force off too early that we spoke of. And Rick, I think, is probably one of the best value for low 40-point pilots. I'm not even going to go over the 104th Battalion being undercosted again. That's something I probably am going to try in the near future. What do you guys think of that?
I like
Steve. You want to start us off?
Yeah, I do. I do like a minimalist Rick Ollier. Like it's so much value for 42 points, right?
Yes. And, yep.
Wow. Initiative 5. I mean, I can see it being pretty tricky to keep that dial up against aces, but you see things fly in formation. You're going to have an easy time flanking them and keeping that dial maneuver high.
And you've got the hammers coming in, right? So they can't turn into the flanker without getting completely destroyed.
I think you could almost honestly go Obi-Wan with CLT in this list just because keeping the focus up on Wolf would be incredibly valuable considering he gets free rerolls on himself.
So,
and it would buy you a lot of points in that list.
You think there's value in trading that Delta for seventh squadron?
You could go with a CLT and a seventh.
Yeah, actually, that would be really good. The seventh fleet would give you what? I mean, if you could joust that list, you could honestly joust that and have 16 dice out of it.
Well, so there's the interesting thing too with the seven with the gunner, seven fleet gunner, you could turn Obi-Wan into that Delta, right? With the third attack die.
Right.
Albeit he wouldn't have the extra shields, but he'd have the green dice, right? And his ability to keep the focus tokens on all of them if he's in range, like That may be something. So, you guys might have something there.
I love this list too, for the same reason Steve said. It's the minimalist of it. I love arcs. I just love them. But I think that this list, because it's so good, we like it so much, but I guarantee this list lost to I-6s. And that sort of illustrates...
Yeah, but I think that's a... I think the way around that is play.
I mean, you have to... If you have two equally skilled players, the I-6 wins. The I-6 reposition.
Well, if you go... If you do drop Obi-Wan down to CLT, you can afford sense. And Obi-Wan has enough force to use sense.
I mean, the Anakin Mace Rick build that I did is sense on Mace.
I think sense is going to... Because of like how predominant Vader Fel is, if you're not running a 6, you should find a way to put a force user and sense on the board. That it almost feels like it almost feels necessary. But like I said,
we're starting to see sense more in the top cut now.
Yeah.
Which is also interesting. I think you guys are onto something here. Maybe it won't, win tournaments and stuff, but I think it's going to be prevalent, especially with how many force users there are in Republic. So
just the ability to, you don't have to guess on your blocks anymore. Like, that's the biggest deal. Right. Because if you block Fel, he's dead. If you set up the block with the 104th and you have Wolf coming in behind him and you get that range one with the free reroll with the recycled focus token off of Obi-Wan, rip the homie. Like,
wait,
you're gone,
I have a
dude.
Question. Is Steven rolling the Fel's green dice?
No, Jeff, you are.
If I am, all you need is a K-Wing, dude. That's all you need.
Oh my god. But all right, let's pack it up in Tucson and real quick move over to the great state of Ohio, where, oh, look at that. Look at who won the event, Anakin Rick in a 104th.
There's a Kylo Ren. Brilliant. Man, amazing.
Okay, Steven, I just want, this is now becoming a meme on this show, is how much Jeff hates Brilliant Evasion. We cannot actually express to you in linguistic terms how much he hates that upgrade.
It's pretty bad.
But it's there. What do you want?
Well, so hold on. I do completely agree with you guys. Brilliant Evasion is not at all an upgrade that I don't think I would ever turn to, especially on Kylo. But could you see why? He only has the 2 force. So being able to spend 1 force to turn 2 greens, I mean, that, I don't know. For a ship that only has 2 force,
I'll take the bid.
Oh, go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
Oh, no. I was going to say, I'd rather take the bid.
Exactly.
Take the bid, or you take the heightened perception, right? Like, you may as well just shoot first anyways, yeah, right?
Right.
I see where Drew is going with that.
Yeah.
But it does not.
Dude, no. I just can't.
It doesn't get around the map.
Wow. Sorry, man. I would honestly rather take sense and just not be an arc.
You can't get around the math. You can't get around the math of paying points for something that is going to make a 1 hit point difference 1/6 of the time that you're shot at. The math is just bad. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Brandon. We're not dissing Brandon, but if anything, we're complimenting him. Good job on doing so well.
And the other thing is it's comparable. It's comparable proc to heroic, and it's 3 times the cost.
Right. Exactly.
That's the problem.
There you go.
But I do want to point out that this was I let's call this probably what I think the cuts are going to look like for the foreseeable future.
God, yeah, you've got the Republic.
Yeah. I'm scared, man. Like, it's just there's a sinker swarm with the Rick build you're going to see. Rick Juke with R2. I do like Marco Leggett running Rick with Predator. That's probably the budget Rick build. just because it lets you boot, it lets you reposition instead of having to rely on a focus and two evade dice. Chancellor Palpatine, by the way, making probably the first appearance I've ever seen in a top eight for Republic specifically.
He's been around, but I do feel like this is the more like, so as we were just talking about this with the Resistance, right? Like, you know, Tally, Poe, and the transport with Leia. This is like the epitome of the better version, right? You've got Anakin with Delta with healing, right? Mm-hmm. The 104 with Chancellor. Now, you know, take it as you will. And then Rick with Juke.
If I'm honest.
Sorry. I'm looking at the wrong list here. I'm thinking Anakin with the Delta, Rick with Juke and proton torpedoes. Like,
yeah,
dude, you are going to destroy someone.
Yep. And also that what that means is that Rick can target lock out of just on his attack run, and I think he can spend Palpatine. Can he not?
Sure.
I gotta look it up. I'm not sure if the Palp is.
Go ahead, Steve. Sorry. That's
perfect. No, Steve, you have the con. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if that Palpatine is coordinating or stressing.
Right. Both? Why not both?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
I would guess primarily coordinating, right, given Anakin and Rick.
You're right.
Yeah. Oh, wow. The Darth Sidious ability is actually kind of gross.
Yeah, I was going to say, there it is, because you get to coordinate, and then you gain a stress to gain a focus token, or recover your force. Yeah.
There's your double-modded Rick, right there.
So
right there.
I do want to point out that...
And he blue maneuvers out of it. That's the other thing. He blue maneuvers out of it with the ridiculous dial on the Naboo.
Dude, I'm on my next... when I play tomorrow, I do want to run this. I think this is... Dude, this is... This is it, man. I think this is not where X-Wing is going, but that's, you cannot deny that action economy and the damage output. Right.
Juke too. Wow.
Drew just overhears with the snip tool from Microsoft from Windows accessory.
No, seriously. Yeah, right? Like, I mean, you look at the Vader Soon tier. Vader Soon tier wishes they had this much damage output. Both aces having this much damage output and the survivability and the coordinate with the tanky coordinate.
Oh, if you land this on either of them, rip the home. Like, if you land that shot with Rick, you'll kill Fel.
That even, I mean, you'll deal serious damage to Vader unless he spends, you know, his focus and all of his force, right?
That, Rick's ability doesn't work with proton, right?
No, but he is juking.
He is juking, but his ability doesn't work with proton.
And that's the thing.
That's perfectly fine. It's just the ability to do that on your to give Rick like the full out, like a full alpha strike first hit, and then you have to run away from him, or you have to get into a turn fight, and that's Anakin's world, and everyone else just lives there.
Well, we're also seeing more large ships, right, and lots of hull. So Rick jumps in, and whatever the proton doesn't kill, his ability will.
Yeah.
I mean, the big thing with Rick, I've played a couple of games against him now. The big thing is that the player who's playing Rick has to be really good at range control. If Rick doesn't...
Yep.
You have to have balls to play Rick all day. You have to. Sorry.
If he doesn't come in correctly and he's not outspeeding you, he dies pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think that's...
Sorry, Drew, go ahead.
No, I think that's the point of the list, though, right? Because you're sitting there and you're like, wow, the 104 battalion with Palpatine, right? Like, oh, that coordinate is a monster, right? We may not be able to catch Anakin, but we can burn down the 104. But there, you know, therein lies the issue, right? If you go for the 104, well, then Rick and Anakin are going to literally, you know, when you go to the bathroom, you'll have two different holes to choose from.
That's the line of the night right there.
Dude, I'm telling you though, man, as an ace player from 1.0 looking at this, do you guys think that this may become a problem as we see more of this? Or
a problem? No, it's strong. I think where this list is going to run into a very serious problem is against Rebels. Because they're going to eat that proton torpedo and pass off two damage of it and go, all right, what else you got?
Also true with all the what's it called? Oh, I can never remember. Selfless.
Yeah, I think there's a decent chance that FFG is going to wake up to just how strong Force is. Uh-huh. Because it's a force is a geometric strength, not a linear strength, and they seem to be costing it linearly.
Great, more points on Luke. That's a great idea.
Luke, I think, is probably costed about right for force. That's why Luke, with his two force and his spectacular ability, I think is why Luke is the price you really dislike.
Just letting you guys know, his ability is called Loving Hate.
Oh my fucking god!
I think that these Republic pilots and Vader are with three force. I think we're gonna see those go up again, just on the basis of the force being so good.
Do you agree with that, Steve? About how force?
I go back and forth on it because, right. I generally yes. So my short answer is I agree. Like it may not be costed correctly, with some exception. I agree with Luke. After playing Rey Gunner, I've been like really thinking about her cost and if I really think it's worth it. So in that case, I think it's overcosted. But I keep going back to Anakin. Like maybe Anakin is still undercosted.
I think he's a little undercosted, but that is like me personally. I don't think I've seen enough of him flown to really believe it, right? Because like at the end of the day, too, the big thing with force is like, oh, you roll double blanks and Anakin takes, you know, the four hits, right? Like you paid a lot to die, right? Like you have the force to use, but you roll blanks, you know? And I mean, that happens. But at the same time, I do feel like, I mean, they get free mods, man, right? That's why you see them turn them up. And not much else. Because
after they spent their focus and they still roll dice, those focus still convert with the force.
How about this? So this is kind of weird, and the it's closing the barn door after the horse has escaped. But what if force let, instead of flipping a focus, what if force let you reroll blank?
Ooh, I like that. I don't know if they. I mean, I don't know if there's any way to change. Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think there's any way to change the current rules. Like, oh man, I have so much to talk to you guys about chess clocks too. But that'll be a whole other
for another. Yeah. Day.
But I do. But I do like the idea of, you know, maybe. I don't know. I think force is really strong, and I don't. I kind of agree with Jeff. Sometimes I think it's appropriately costed, but I also think that. Maybe in the long run, it's not quite.
And it does get weird too when you've got a crew member that adds a force, because Rey at one force may be costed too high, but if Rey were somehow to create a ship with three or four force, all of a sudden, wow, that's some serious force. We saw that with Maul and.
Dooku.
Maul and Dooku.
Well, we're seeing with freaking Shirano live and in color.
Right, right. But, you know, albeit two force, but with all those passive mods that they get, right? It focuses to hit, focuses to crits, right? With what's his bucket? The ninth gunner, fifth gunner, sorry.
Fifth, bro. Fifth, yeah.
But anyway,
I think the real problem with a lot of the force users is. More that the number of ways they can be applied. I don't think any of them should be crew. They should just be gunners. I really mean that. They should be. They're obviously offensive intended, so they should be. They should cost you your gunner slot.
So Leia would be a crew and a gunner, for example, instead of two crew.
Yeah.
And Rey would be gunner and crew. Since she's already a gunner,
but maybe the price could come down. Yeah, but again,
I get if you're going to eat two slots, I'm fine with the price
coming
down.
But again, it's not a terrible thing to explore, but it's never actually going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
No, of course not. But you know, we delve in impossibilities here.
Well, just looking back at was it Tucson, 43 players. I think I saw. Was it two out of the top eight didn't have four Caesars?
Yeah, exactly.
And then here we have three. Three of the top eight don't have four Caesars?
Yep.
I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you why it happened. because they killed the only list with non-force inside synergy.
Well, but here's the thing, too. Look at how many lists also have coordinate.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's not as high. You know, it's actually not that high at all. But it was something I noticed. As far as resistance and Republic were concerned.
There's three here. Right? In Ohio. Recess.
What do you guys think of this Darth Vader passive sensors fad? I'm just baffled by it. We talked about it a little bit before.
Okay. It's hysterical when it works.
Which,
there's not which a way around that.
Is that bit insurance?
Not needing to bid with an aces list is absolutely. I don't even want to imagine what that must feel like to catch a Vader play, to catch a non-passive censored Vader, and just go, oh, by the way, here's my target lock / barrel roll. Oops.
Yeah. Well,
you thought you were an arc.
so here's the interesting thing. And I talked to Rick a lot about this, who made top four at our hyperspace. He used passive sensors, I think, one in his 10 games or 9 games to like real effect. And then every other game I watched him play, you could see it on his face. He wished he had FCS for the reroll.
Exactly. In the game I played against him, he actually said that explicitly. Boy, I wish I took FCS instead.
Yep. And I mean, I do me running the bombers and Fell and Vader only with afterburners. I was missing FCS. Tremendously, but I think that's because I'm still I became a postal carrier, Steven. I don't know if I told you. And my games of X-Wing became, you know, significantly lower than it used to be. But I do feel like I feel like FCS is such a solid choice for 2 points. Yeah. Vader gets to reroll that third hit that he almost always gets.
Almost always.
But, yeah, with a target lock dependent ability, like why not?
Speaking of.
Right. Well, with all the swarms becoming prevalent too, with like the vultures and the six Republic and all that, like I feel Vader needing to keep his target lock is that in order for Vader to move to continue in this field that we move into more swarms, I think he has to have FCS
And people are like, I don't mind spending. Vader's got plenty of actions. I don't mind spending my target lock and grabbing it again. And I'm like, well, this is why you run out of force and die.
Yep. Or the force, and suddenly your damage output is significantly lower to the point where you're only doing one, whereas before your average was three. Like
three, three and a crit.
I do love that
three with a crit. Right?
Three Tempest Squadron pilots and passive sensors, though.
Yes,
that's pretty good. I do like Dave Simmons with the Han Solo Poe Dameron resistance list with Leia and an engine. Oh my God. Leia crew, Ray Gunner, God. And how engine upgrade. That is got to be 100. Hang on. I can tell you what it is because I know what all the other ones on Poe cost. Hold up. 68, 69.
It's 107.
71. 73, 75. So approximately 120 points Han Solo.
Wow. That's 4.0 range.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, it's handbrake range. Yeah. It's handbrake range. But it's two force and an engine upgrade, and Ray can change your blank to a hit.
And he starts wherever God. He wants to start.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that list. I bet you – okay. That probably was a lot of fun for him and a lot of not fun for everybody else.
Oh, man. If there's ever a decent missile,
exactly,
I'm going straight to resistance on, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say this. You guys tear me apart if you want. Are droid swarms and sinker swarms going to usher in the age of the cluster missile?
No.
Well, that was
I really don't. Yeah. Well, so hold on. I have my good friends up north, big fans of Rebel before the beef came in, right? And we were all like, oh yeah, we can try cluster missile swarm, this swarm, right? And the fact is there currently there is no way to get like multiple modifications on both shots. If
oh,
they
God,
had so
oh,
many
there are ways to do that. I think the big weakness of it is the range 1 to 2.
Right, that too. That was the double modifieds and then the range.
I just want to say, you shouldn't be able to get double mods on 4 attacks.
And I completely agree. I completely agree, and I think that's why it's not a thing.
Because it's balanced?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't mean to kill the conversation that quickly. Like, Steve, what is your take on this?
we talking about cluster missiles? Concussion.
Cluster missiles.
Yeah.
Like
cluster missiles.
Do an attack
cluster,
at range 1 to 2, 3 die attack, and then
zero
do another attack at another eligible target within range 1 of the first attack.
I mean, there's a few ships I consider it on, but then I ended up just taking it off for a different upgrade instead. Like I think about cluster missiles on Lando, Rebel Lando.
It's in my current list.
Yeah, because that way you get that full 270. Because you just send the bow tie left and right, and then you have the missiles out the front.
Yeah.
Right. And then
I considered it on a Jess list. I can't remember why it didn't work, but it initially seemed promising on a Jessica Pava list.
Yeah.
No. Dice, it just Jeff. There was something in the interactions that made it not work. I couldn't remember exactly, but because she can modify.
She can reroll.
Yeah, she can reroll one of them, both of them. One with the target lock, one with her own ability. But I couldn't remember why it didn't work.
That's actually a neat little thing.
Yeah. Oh, I've thought about it, but I'm drawing a blank. If I remember, if I get inspired, I will message you.
Sweet.
Yeah, because I just what I'm looking for is a way to get two guys with clusters, without taking Dutch, and that's the problem. And no, seriously, that's really all I want is not being forced to take Dutch Yander to get two guys double modded, and you just can't. You know, there just isn't really a way around it unless you run Garvin, and Garvin is prohibitively expensive with Jake and Lando
Garvin
already
is
in
my
the list.
Heartbreak of second edition, man.
I was gonna say I
Every
having played Daryl
break of this edition.
Tragic.
Who disagrees with this? I want to know who these people are. Everyone we've had on the show agrees that the X-Wings are screwed. God damn it! Anyway,
I mean Garvin in particular hurts me though. I think that they did a really what was obviously a kludge in first edition, saying yes, you know, zero is a number of focuses that you can spend. Zero is the number of eyeballs you can roll, therefore you can spend a focus and pass his ability.
Yeah.
His ability now relying on RNG is just...
On dice.
That's not synergy. That's maybe G, you know? and I just don't like to see it because I like Garvin. I like the mid PSX wings, and I wish that they had found a way to do that, to let him just pass it.
Yeah.
Also, how reliant his ability is on, let's be honest, swarm tactics.
yeah, to some extent, sure.
Yeah.
To be competitively viable, Garvin kind of has to be in a list with somebody higher packing swarm tactics, which, let's be real, nine times out of ten means wedge.
Yeah.
I'm almost at the point where I think as goes Wedge, so goes Rebels.
Nah, they've been around well before Wedge was good again.
In another edition.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to say this, guys, but every time people go back to, well, in 1.0, I want to just raise my hand and go, rules are different, cards are different,
so
abilities are different.
I'm going to just prove you very quickly right now, okay?
All right, go ahead.
Wedge could have gone up in cost. Rebel Beef would have been just fine if Braylon and Cassian and tactical officer and Leia and everything else in Rebel Beef had not been nuked. Wedge could have gone up just fine and Rebel Beef would still be doing really well.
He was a luxury.
He was a luxury.
I think that was before Republic getting, before we're getting people really getting their hands on Republic.
I mean, maybe it's tough. That's tough to say. It's
because energy shell charges were one way you could tear Beef apart. They just can't take that many 3-die shots. It doesn't matter how much hull you have. You cannot take a 18-24 die alpha strike.
Well, but that's the thing. The math says that you kill at least one of the vultures on engagement.
I'd say the math says you kill two of them.
Right? And I mean, yeah, I was going to say the math is not great for the vultures in that sense. But I do agree with you, Vince, if they do wind up surviving, if the dice don't go the rebels' way, the energy shell charges will rip them to shreds.
If you roll like I did, you have no problem.
If you run into a droid like the now infamous number Pink from Gold Squadron, then the Rebel player is gonna. The game's decided on the joust.
Like three we have, games. We have like our that, new Steven. Like I'm not even talking about consecutively. You just have three games in a tournament like that game. You're our next world champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. No, well, it's now, you know, the save me Duncan for the Empire. It's now save me Steven. Save me Gonzalez for the Rebels, right? And the Resistance.
Do we want to do that last one before we guys, head out?
I was going to ask, do we all think we have the juice to go one more?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good.
Let's do sure, it. Why not?
It changed. It somehow the number changed in like the last hour and a half. Tomac Bren makes the cut. Let's go,
dude. That man is a monster.
No, he's not.
Rightfully so.
No, he's not. Tomac Bren is not a monster. Drew, I love you, but no.
3-7 B's in a list. Holy cow!
Yeah. And they still had room to make to give Kenobi sense and Mace heightened. who needs regen?
Boba Gurry, there we go.
Boba Gurry.
Well, this is my favorite of the three that we've looked at. I love that first order list.
I like Nick Pierce's list. 104th, Wolf at Sinker.
I think First Order is going to head in that direction. That Kylo could draw Tafsin. That's been consistent.
Yeah.
Yep. They have the health, right? The shields, the hull. They have the damage output. And you know, I'll be honest with you. Naked Kylo, to me, like, you know, you see so many top Anakin lists, which is just Delta 7B, right? Like, there's almost no real upgrade that you like want to give a Force user, maybe FCS or Afterburners for Vader. I think he's like one of the only exceptions, but like just having that Force by themselves is extremely strong.
You know, Kylo being a nice I-5 Ace Kappa.
Oh man, it's tragic how expensive Prime Thrusters is.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Something he would really benefit from. Not necessarily exploit, but definitely benefit.
Yep, 100%.
I think it is interesting how many of the tech upgrades are just one point adjustment away from giving First Order and Resistance not just all the toys, but like a whole other box of toys that nobody else gets to play with, and it's just unfair.
But, I mean,
like Adaptive Octus is already about to take over the world. Now if you start slapping Prime Thrusters on it, get out of the way.
But like, okay, so like Nien Num can take, what is it, auto thrusters for Afterburners for 6 points, but like Prime costs them, like, come on.
Right. No, I when I was trying to build the danger zone list, I was looking at it and I was like, man, I mean, you take both because it's cool, but like, shit, dude, that's a lot. That's a lot.
It's cool.
That's a lot of points, though, man. That's a lot of points.
Drew, I like. You know what? That's gonna go with. That's my new shipbuilding strategy for literally every single game.
Dude, it should be for everything.
You guys
know, like, I do it because it's cool.
Thing about this, the actual finish of this tournament. The guy who finished first in the top eight cut was 10th after Swiss. So two people dropped out of the top eight cut, letting 9 and 10 in, and 10 won it.
Wow.
That's how you do it, man. That's how you do it.
That's that Appalachian State University chant.
This is Sam Page's.
Thank you, Jeff, for getting that joke. No one else listening to this podcast will.
It happens a lot, though, man. We had some issues at our hyperspace with a couple people couldn't show up, and I almost contacted you, Vince.
No, you had to get down into the 20s?
Dude, no one would show up. Everyone either couldn't get a ride or was not willing to come down, I guess. I don't call it names or anything like that.
The funny part is you know I was there.
I know you were. I should have said something.
Was that an emergency that the top eight player couldn't make it?
No. So real quick, the one list that we really wanted to see was the four Fang fighters in our top eight face against the Tie Swarm. It would have been such a cool matchup. It would have been freaking awesome. But apparently the guy, the Fang fighter guy, was from Davis, and they drove back that night. And I don't know if he thought he had a place to stay or anything like that. But as we discovered, his ride fell through and he had no way to get back down. And it just cascaded from there. Eight couldn't make it. Nine couldn't make it. 10 couldn't make it. Like,
see, the thing is, if that guy tells Matt, I'm not going to be able to make it tomorrow. Matt can talk before anybody leaves for the night. Matt could talk to the next few players and say who can make it.
Well, Rick and Matt were talking to people as we were leaving on Saturday going, all right, I need to get some phone number. They were like, hey, you know, can we reach you if, you know, who's going to be up next if, like,
I can't
they did
try.
They didn't
try to get me.
So the biggest issue was there were people in SF that were willing to come down, but they were an hour away, right, and we were already at like 11:30, like waiting for players. Yeah, it just got too late. But my point of this whole story is this happens, man. You know, top eight players make it and can't come in. Like I called out of work to make the cut, right? Like, you know, some people can call out and some people can't, you know.
Or don't. I mean, every cut that I've made at a regional, yeah, I've dropped. So right, it's not right. just it, it can't happen. But when I do that, I do tell them I'm not going to be here. So take the next.
It does
person,
upset me that the right? only Rebel player in the cut dropped.
Yeah, but I do want to point out that this is the second Rebel Beef that's made the cut in the last two lists we've looked at. Rebel Beef is doing fine. It's not dominant. It's doing
even
fine.
Got better. Someone figured out Biggs.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah. Biggs is Steven, do you remember Gordon? Moved up here. Yeah, he's got a Rebel Beef list. I actually got to talk to Vince about. He put on the table the other day and was telling me about it, and I was like, oh damn, son.
Honestly, if I'm gonna go with super defensive. Super defensive build, I'm going Republic because I want to run Padme Luminara and make people insane. Anyway.
Moving on. The Rebel Beef is doing fine.
You could
I
just call
really
it damage
like
sharing.
This. But that doesn't have as good of a ring to it. Anyways, I like this Boba build. Prox mines, I think, are really undervalued. They are super money. It is one of the only ways to get automatic damage on things
and out of the engagement phase, which is big,
and they hurt. It's not one damage, it's up to three.
They're doing it the hard way without what's his name, he's doing it with Boba, but just the one out the back.
Well, he's got slave one, so if he isn't going to have a good angle on you, he just turns the other way and turns his next maneuver basically into a bomb run.
Yeah.
Well, think about the way that Boba Fett wants to fly. But so Boba Fett's in there with your ships, and you're like, okay, well, I can K-turn, but can I?
Is that question?
Yeah, because
I almost feel like Boba Fett wants people to chase him, like at all times.
Well, especially with Kira, right? Like he rolls up at range 4 and he target locks an asteroid, and you're like, "Oh shit, here he comes!" Right? Like,
oh shit, here we go again.
Yep, exactly.
And then like the bare minimum points. The bare minimum Guri build, advanced outmaneuver shield.
I mean, she's gross.
Yeah. She's the tyrant of I-5. She's the best I-5 in the game.
I think I put those 7 points for shield. I think I put those on Fett somewhere.
Yeah.
If he had a bid, you could get veteran tail on Boba.
I'm sure Boba gets all the veteran tail he needs. But
he's running slave. He's not running a marauder.
Yeah, the marauder.
Okay.
Right, but I think that this is. I mean,
your Boba.
Well, hold on. It makes sense though.
Rerolls.
Well, I was gonna say passive rerolls, right? So you can go in there aggressively, and it's like, okay, oops, I got a butt shot, right? Well, you also took the butt shot and a what's it called?
Rock mines,
right? Yeah. Like, yep.
That's nasty. That is nasty.
Oh, he's just hanging out on rocks, trick shotting too.
Yep.
Yeah, he didn't care about 4 points. He's like, 4 points is okay with me. I'm good.
I mean, with a bear.
He's like, I'm already expensive, bro.
I've already points fortress the points locker in this ship. Like,
yep.
Give me the spinning rims. Let me get the DVD player in the seats. Like, let me get the amps in the back. Like, give me everything. Anything else about this or any of the other trials we want to go over or any other material that you guys have burning a hole in your head?
No, I just want to say thanks again to Steven for not only coming on, but responding to my invitation so quickly. That was great, man. You know, since we met in Fresno, how many years back?
Oh, geez.
You've been one of my favorite players to watch play, so I'm glad you came.
Oh, no, but thank you for being that voice in the wilderness crying out reason, even though so few listen. I appreciate it.
I think Jeff likes being. I think Jeff likes being the Patch Adams of X-Wing. But all right, let's go ahead and get out. Jeff and Drew, sign off how you prefer.
Steve, thanks so much for coming on. I love you. You're all of the Fly Better guys. I have grown to absolutely adore you guys. I cannot wait to see you guys again.
Likewise, Drew. Thank you.
We are privileged to be joined by Mr. Steven Gonzalez of the Fly Better podcast. Sir, thank you very much for coming on. We will bring you back just as soon as the schedule works out for both of us.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time. Thank you.
And everyone, thank you very much for listening. We will see you next week. Good night.
Have a good week.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.